Hey guys, and welcome to a new episode of Five. My name is Franziska, and today I invited Lisa Duchscherer. And Lisa is a founder of the company Naked Minds, and she's also doing her PhD in the DBA program of the SCE. So I think it's a very interesting talk with her, as her double roles as a female founder and a PhD candidate. And so let's just start right into our conversation.
For us, entrepreneurship is not necessarily about starting or running a business. It's a state of mind, a principle of life, and an approach to dealing with problems. This is Five, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship by the Munich University of Applied Sciences and the Strasheg Center for Entrepreneurship. We strongly believe in diversity. It's just so much more fun and exciting. Diversity in food, in cultures, in places, ways of living, learning, creating, and doing things. It's this desire to explore that we all have in us, to see new things, and yes, to be curious to look what's behind the next corner.
So hello and welcome, Lisa from Naked Minds. Great to have you here in our podcast studio.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, it's really cool that you're here, and I'm quite fascinated by what you're doing. Like, you founded Naked Minds, I think it was this year, am I right?
Or yes, it was. We started in September 2020 officially, but obviously you have some pre-work to do. So the idea came to my mind in, let's say, March. And then branding, logo creation, website programming, and getting the network together all happened in the COVID summer.
Yeah, maybe tell us, maybe like just in a few sentences, like what is Naked Minds and how did you found that company and how did that idea come to your mind?
Okay, maybe to start with, it's my second company I founded, which is probably something every entrepreneur is telling you. Well, there were a few ideas before, but they didn't really work. So when I stepped out of corporate business, out of like a normal job, and had the desire to start something new, I really repeated, let's say, business models and patterns I knew. So my first company was pretty much a classic consulting business, which felt good because it's something you know and you think, well, I do it better than I knew it from the companies I worked with before. But what I think is really important when you are an entrepreneur, you have to be true to yourself and have to work on things you're really good at. So the classic consultancy thing is definitely a great thing and you help a lot of companies, but it was not unique and it was not really helping what I actually can, bringing people together and work with, yeah, let's say like-minded people and brave people who want to try something new. So after my classic consulting business, I thought, okay, what can I do actually really, really good? And a funny story is that my mom told me when I was really young, I think you have to be someone working in a circus and managing everything what is happening in the arena. And I thought she's really making fun of me. But I think bottom line is I'm really good at multi-program managing and having a lot of strings in my hand and get people together. When I think about a topic or a friend or a business partner is saying, oh, this and this is happening and I've got this idea, immediately to my mind comes, okay, who is a good connection for this person and who can be connected with that problem to solve it? So Naked Minds is a platform of experts all about transformation and digitalization challenges and problems, and we are trying to solve them with the best idea and powers we have.
Yeah, cool. Okay, I think maybe, can you tell us maybe an example, like a cool project that you worked on?
Yeah.
Just for like a
Sure. Yeah. it's very, it varies a lot from what customers want from us. And I think this is also a challenge when you talk about transformation and digitalization. It can be so different for companies to say, okay, this is our transformation project. This is our digitalization challenge. So we have, for example, customers who say, look, right now with the COVID-19 challenge, I have a company with around 100 employers. And now we are in the situation of working constantly from home. How can we make sure we are on track, we are working on our goals, and what are the best methods to make sure we deliver? So this is basically about process optimization and tackling the challenges of communication. We have medium-sized companies we are working with and have very specific tasks to tackle. On the other side, and this is also, I think, where Naked Minds had a great start in 2020, even it was a very challenging time for a lot of people, that founders and people who want to start their own venture have an idea and need support defining their business model and getting the experts on hands when it comes to branding or product photography or getting to know their first customers. So we have also really customers who actually start their business. So the range is quite big.
Yeah, I think that's quite interesting. Like when I went to your website and I checked like the different experts in the network, it's quite a diverse bunch of people, I would say, and like with so many interesting backgrounds and stories. And yeah, I think that's really unique in that way, that people from so many different angles could see a different solution for a similar problem.
Yeah, true. And maybe if I can add something, because you're just saying this variety of experts. What my, let's say, not fail, but what I learned with my first business, that when you do consulting business, you're going to companies, they have a problem, and you send in a team and you charge a lot of money for. And this is probably something a lot of us experienced. You get a lot of paper and you don't get things done. And I realized I actually want to get things done with the people I work with and for the customers. So my challenge was to have a team who are actually senior experts. But because when you start a business, you can't just say, oh, I have 10 experts and I pay them in advance and actually start acquiring new projects. So I did it the other way around and said, look, whoever wants to work with us on interesting projects, let's come together, have one platform and one, place where we can show what we can do and then tackle potential projects and customers. And in that way, there were no costs on either side, but only options to create projects. And in the end, the customer is not paying the people who are sitting there waiting for projects. They're paying for what they need. So I think it's an interesting concept for both sides.
Yeah, so you're kind of challenging a bit the status quo of the consultancy business arena.
Definitely. And this is also part of the vision, actually. I think consulting is a very important part of what's happening right now in the economy and what's going to happen when we think about transformation and digitalization challenges. But, and this is my lessons learned from my corporate background, the challenges, they change every day. And the same issue big corporates have as big consultancies have, they are running a big ship, and big ships, they can't really turn left or right quickly. But just for an example, how fast the influencer marketing business emerged and how important it is now to place your product on social media. A lot of big agencies, a lot of big consultancies and corporates, they don't understand the business and they don't have the expert yet on board. Plus, this business is changing constantly. I really wanted to have experts on my side who are on top of things and they work state of the art. But I can only provide that if I have free minds around and have people who are experiencing different things and different projects. So the platform business, I think, is a future model for consultancies.
Yeah, and also, I mean, that's kind of the key of the whole startup scene in a way. I mean, that you don't have to have all these like massive resources, or often they don't have. I mean, they just have an idea or a glimpse of an idea or even not an idea, but just a team. And they know, hey, I want to really go into the starting my own company and building something up and being creative and being free and trying it out. And so, yeah, I think and that's when some magic can happen.
True.
And because you don't have a long history, so you're completely fresh.
Sure.
And then you just start something and sometimes it works and you can really change even like industries or whole markets or the way we travel or the way we buy things or new medicines or whatever. So yeah,
it's a lot of variety in the topics, definitely. And also, I think we are interesting for so many sizes of companies because we can actually offer the customer what he needs and he doesn't have to pay what is on a big consultancy's payroll. If there is someone who wants to found a business or tries a new idea, or if a bigger company wants to try a new project and it's actually a trial and error thing, a startup within in a corporate, then it's very to the point what we can offer and not like big, like, yeah, this whole code around which you probably don't need, but has to sell, has to pay my invoices. We can actually be on point.
Yeah, I think that maybe if you think a bit about your story of like when you first thought about like, hey, founding my own company could actually be an option. And also, I mean, when you read a lot, like in research or wherever, or in like some founder monitors, or I mean, there's often what comes up is like some fears, like the fear of failure, the fear of taking risk, or financial aspects to be, it's sometimes people or even I mean, it's to think like, okay, how do I do that? And then something like COVID-19 happens and like there's crisis and like all these like fears, I think, is a very dominant aspect of like people not going into, maybe even if they have the idea, but that's kind of like a barrier. Yeah. So first, I would like to understand, like, when did that thought come to your mind and how did you actually come from just like, oh, it would be so cool to have my own business, to, okay, I'm going to found my own business?
Yeah, that is an interesting question because it's kind of my story and it's bumpy, but looking back and looking forward, I just love it. I love being an entrepreneur and I love doing the things I'm able to do and I'm allowed to do. So first part of the question is, when did it come to my mind? I always wanted to make a career. I always wanted to climb up the ladder and I'm a really competitive person. I studied sports among other things and I really like to, let's say, win, and I really like to have a challenge and tackle it. So that's what I always admired about my jobs, learning new things. But to actually climb up the ladder to the top in corporate environments is, and this is a very recent topic these days, is hard for women because we have various roles we have to fulfill in society, in our relationship, and in the corporate environment. And a corporate career is always connected to what the company wants and what their philosophy is, which is definitely needed, and it's a big part of a success of a company. But you have to be part of that. I always said you have to take on your corporate suit, and at some point I was tired of wearing my corporate suit, and I thought there's so much more and there are so interesting things out there. I really want to try them. So I had the opportunity to be part of a digital agency, and was able to buy myself in, so to say. But then I realized, okay, you're again part of something which was already founded. And then I had to jump, I think. And it was a scary jump, and it didn't really work everything out from the beginning. So spoiler alert, there are a lot of failures and problems and challenges, but you learn every day and it's getting better. So yeah, it was really more of, why did I found my business? I wanted to be myself and I wanted to be free. When I jumped, it was not that I thought about it a long, long time ago. It was just the result of my my career. It was the logic next step to think, okay, I really want to have responsibility. I really want to develop my career. I really want to have a certain amount of freedom in my life. So this is the next step. So I jumped and I founded my first business. And when you ask about the financial stability aspect, I was fortunate to have had saved at that point an amount of money, which gave me some, let's say, freedom and time to try out new things. And this is something I really would recommend to everyone who's thinking about funding a business. I really hate these stories when people say, I funded my business and it just cost me $500. And I think when I look at my bank account and I look at the invoice I get from my health insurance, this is really a lie. I mean, you have to think about, okay, what do I need for my life? What do I need to invest? What is really necessary and what is nice to have? So it's, at the end of the day, really a plus and minus calculation. Thank you. And to be honest, this last year was quite tough because when I started in 2020, I had customers, and because of the lockdown, the first lockdown, everyone was in kind of a shock. And it was from hero to zero. I just had no customers for the summer. And I really had to think about, oh my God, how am I going to do this? So alongside the financial stability, which was still there, and thank God we are living in Germany, and I had had some, I applied for some support from the state, which I got, which was great. It was tough, but you have to also have a lot of nerves, and you think, it's going to be okay. And I think this is the mantra which got me through the year.
Like, and how do you find that trust in yourself? Like, you know, like, I mean, you have to trust yourself that you're gonna make it.
Yes. I mean, first of all, I think I was fortunate because my mother is also an entrepreneur herself. So I knew from family history that there are good times and that there are bad times. And I remember times when I when my mother had really two bad seasons in a row, which can happen as an entrepreneur. And she was always very practical. And she said, okay, I don't mind. I'm applying for a job. And if I have to sit at the cash machine at Aldi or Lidl or wherever, I'm doing it, because first thing is we have to have money and we have to feed ourselves. So I think you don't have to be... You can't sit on a high horse and think, I'm just doing things I really want and that's it. You have to be very practical sometimes. So I always thought, if everything is worse and horrible, I'm looking for a job. And if I'm doing a cleaning job, I'm doing a cleaning job. That's it. I think you have to just, you have a work ethic or need to have a work ethic. And the other thing is... I have a really cool grandfather who told me from the time when I was a little girl, just be brave. Every time when I went to, and I was really bad at math at school, really, really bad. And he always said, just be brave. And I was like, yeah, but just be brave. So I think you have to have these figures in your life who encourage you. If this is a good friend or your grandfather or a sister, that's very helpful. And the other thing is, at some point, and this is part of being an entrepreneur, I think, you have to take responsibility for everything you do. I'm really not a fan of I'm doing everything because it feels so good. Of course, you have to have joy in what you do. But I think, let's face it, being an entrepreneur and deciding things, you have to look into the books. You have to look at the trends. You have to make sure you understand what your customer wants. And it's a lot of work. And yeah, just stay on top of things and try to achieve as much as you can every day. And there are failures on the way, but in the end, yeah, get the crown on top again and keep on walking.
Yeah, maybe this is a good point, as we always have like this element of like five in our show.
Yeah,
like I think it would be interesting to know. I mean, there is like these challenges, there is like sometimes moments where you think like, oh my god, how am I going to do that? But I mean, there is like a lot of reasons why you're doing it.
Yeah.
So maybe can you tell us like your top five reasons why you decided to become a female founder?
Okay. I have to count. I think there are 100 reasons. One of the reasons is definitely that you are responsible for everything you do, and it feels really grown up and makes you feel strong when you say, this is my decision. Second, it's you can develop in... So many ways, because you have to learn new things and you have to do things you actually don't want to do. Like, I really hate the admin stuff and the accounting side, but I'm doing it and I feel more and more confident in these things. Third thing is, it's not a career which ends when you're 65 and you start getting your pension. It's a decision for life, and it's really cool because it's a long journey and you never know where you end up. Fourth is, another thing, like, it's best example today, we are sitting here and we had a really nice chat just before the podcast and two interesting phone calls. The people you surround yourself with are inspiring. You don't always like them, but it's inspiring and it's much more satisfying than when I went to... let's say my corporate job, and I think about a lot of people who are kind of annoyed. Oh, I have to go to my job again. Oh my God, when is the summer holiday coming up? It doesn't feel like I'm working. It's my life, which is great. And the fifth thing is, I don't know, maybe this is a bigger thing, but right now we are having a time where we talk more about female entrepreneurs and what women can do in our time. And I think we have so many options. And if we want to have this thought about equality, and I think feminism is about equality, if we really want to make that happen, we have to step up. And this is one part of expressing that.
Yeah, I think these were like some really good reasons, and I really like them. And yeah, the last reason also reminded me that we haven't really talked about like your double roles, because I mean, Lisa, she's not just like founding her company, but she's also doing a PhD in the field of female entrepreneurship. And I mean, I think probably most people, as I do, would already think like, wow, doing a PhD is like something like, you know, quite a huge thing. And then starting your own company is also a huge thing. And you're just doing both at the same time. And yeah, I wonder why.
And, why the hell does she do this? Yeah. To be honest, sometimes I ask myself this too, but this is again part of the story why I started my own company. When I said earlier that I studied sports, I also studied history, and I studied educational science. So my very first decision for starting a career was being a teacher. And it was a very naive idea that for a woman, it's a great job because you can combine different roles and you can marry and you can have two children and you can, you know, hey, have a very nice home and you can have everything. This didn't really turn out, because I realized that
I don't like teaching.
That the teaching job is a fine one, and it's very good for a lot of people. A lot of my friends are doing it, but there's no development I really like or I aspire to have. So I had the chance to start a career in the automotive industry and learned so many new things. But I always had and this is a very German thought, by the way, I had this sign on my forehead, she's actually a teacher. She is not part of the business administration party. So I really wanted to prove that I can also do these things and have some kind of a certificate. And during my time in London and in New York, when I worked for a venture capital firm, I thought it's really good to have executive MBA, because in the Anglo-Saxon world, this is the title you want to have. But then I came back to Germany and I thought, this is not really what is interesting here and for a career I might have. And then two things came together. It's not about the title. It's really, I wanted to be an expert in my field. So it was really logic, again, starting my own company and having an expert field. And I think, I mean, you're doing a PhD yourself. By the way, I'm not doing a PhD. I'm doing a DBA program, which is a more practical way of gaining the doctor title, because the topics in a DBA program, they come out of the business world and the practical work you're doing. But in the end, it's kind of the same way. I thought, okay, if I start my own business, if I want to stand for a topic, this is the way to do it. And it's really cool to combine these things, because it challenges me, because one of my friend, and she's also kind of a role model for me, she did her PhD before me. She's done with that now. But what I really thought what was great is that I saw how she evolved, how she tackled problems, how she analyzed challenges. And I think this is helpful for myself and obviously in the end for the customer, because you really get to the point of things from a different point of view. So the second part of your question, how do you do it? On a day-to-day basis, it's hard. And I think I'm still trying to figure out if I do something every Friday or once in a month. But looking back at the journal articles I had to read at the exams I took last year, it just makes me better as an entrepreneur and forces me to keep on top of things and learn. I think it's all about learning in the end. You can't stop.
Yeah.
It's part of the entrepreneurial DNA to
I
do
think
new things all the time.
Yeah, I can really relate to that. That, I mean, going into research, I mean, I've been working also quite a lot more in the practical field, let's say, with startups, like lots of hands-on work. You have to organize things on a day-to-day basis and people expect you to, like, let's say, respond to an email within like a short time frame. And then you go into research and you sit in front of a paper and it takes ages. And you think like, oh my God, it just took me 4 hours to really understand what this paper is all about. And so it's a different, completely different world, like academia. And I think like being in both worlds sort of is for me at least something that is challenging, but also it's something I like.
Yeah.
And then with research, sometimes you just go into a completely different, sometimes you go really deep because, I mean, sometimes the problems in research are so small and like you think like, okay, I go really deep into something. But then on the other hand, it gives you sometimes also a new, more like bird's view perspective.
Yeah.
And you really see things like you work on a day-to-day basis in a different light, I would say.
Definitely.
And so I think I really like to have both things actually in parallel, because if I would just be a researcher, I would probably get frustrated because it's a very long run and you don't have like these little successes as of, for example, doing the podcast show. And then you feel great because you just like recorded a super nice new episode and feels like, oh yeah, I've done something today. And in research, it's sometimes like super long.
it's totally different, two different worlds, but I think it complements each other very well.
Yeah, I think so too. And maybe I think what would be interesting also, like, do you have anything like in mind? I mean, the SCE and the university, there's so many young students and people who might eventually think of like, hey, could starting my own company or doing a PhD be an option for me as a career? Anything that pops up in your mind, what you want to pass on and like any tips how to get started or
I'm quoting my grandfather, be brave. And this might sound very very like a calendar piece, but I think in the end it's about trying out things. And I just had a phone call this morning with a client, and it was very, very challenging. And you think, oh, I should have done this and I should have done this. And then you get into the spiral of, that was not really good. And then I reminded myself, and I also called a friend and I said, look, this and this happened. And she's like, focus on the good things. I mean, we have so many good things to focus on. And when you try out new things and you focus on what you achieved and what you can achieve in the future, I think it's being an entrepreneur is a great way of doing that. It's more a way of life than a job. I think that's a differentiation there. And if the desire is to start a PhD or a DBA program, if it's really something you want to do, do it. I always, looking back, what I learned is everything you are deciding has to, let's say, kind of fit in a phase. If you want to do a PhD and it kind of doesn't happen for the moment right now, maybe it's something for the next year. So give yourself time to do things, but every step takes you further to what you really want to achieve. And I think be brave, be patient, and just try it.
Yeah, some good words, definitely. And I think that also one important aspect is always that you're not alone out there. Like, and I think so we can kind of like come back to how we started with like Naked Mind as like a network of experts. And so whenever you have an idea, or don't be afraid of asking people, don't be afraid of like contacting people and asking for help, or and also I think to start building up a network is like something that you can do already during university, already during your studies. And if you're like kind of like opening your mind and like looking what's left and right, I mean, of course you have to study, but there's a lot out there, and it's like a very a time where you have still quite a lot of options and possibilities, I would say. At least that's how I felt when I was studying. And so I think it's a good time to experiment, to try out yourself. And there's so many, it's different if you're a student. And I mean, you can just go to the Entrepreneurship Center, you can contact people, and usually everyone is kind of open towards you, because I mean, hey, it's someone who wants to learn and who is not open to share. And I mean, you would want to share your experience. And so I think that's something we sometimes forget.
True.
I mean, it takes a step to ask, but actually there is so many good people out there.
There's more to win than to lose. Thank you for bringing that back to the, let's say, the network thought and the network idea. I think that's probably something which is a very important factor. If things go good and if things go bad, you need to have good people around you in various forms. And this is also my experience with Naked Minds. When I look at the people who are now part of the platform, either if they are on the front display or in the background, most of them I know for a really long time. So, for example, one of the experts on Naked Minds I went to kindergarten with, and the other one is a businesswoman from Munich, and I know her things for 6 months now. But every one of them asks something, or everyone... we share something, and staying in contact and nurturing these relationships is a big part of that. And I think in the end, the network is the business, and this is what Naked Minds is about. And the network is also the platform and the projects and the experiences and the people, and brings you forward. So yeah, I think that's a very interesting and important factor of that.
Okay, last question. How did you come up with the name Naked Minds?
I had my first business, and it was a very classic name with consulting XYZ. And I wanted something which is more interesting. I wanted to catch people's, sorry, that was, I started the sentence wrong. I wanted to make it interesting when people see the business card. And Naked Minds actually is about the mind. It's about the brain. It's about experts. So we have something to say and we have experiences and they are very independent and cool people. And Naked, it's not about being naked, but in the way of being open and trying out new things. And I think this is what we are about. We tackle problems and we think from a white sheet and then we draw it from for what the customer needs and what is the best solution for the challenge.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure. I hope you all enjoyed it. I really enjoyed talking to you today, Lisa, in your double role as a female founder and a PhD candidate. And yeah, I wish you all the best for the future of Naked Minds. And maybe we see each other again sometime in a year or whenever in this podcast.
I hope so too. And I really enjoyed it as well. And yeah, thank you very much for having me. And thank you. And I hope everyone is enjoying it.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.